In the chaos and distractions of everyday life, it's easy to feel disconnected, distant from God, from the people we love, and even from our own hearts. Yet deep within, we know there's something more, something greater. We are called to be reconciled. Welcome to Be Reconciled with Father Paul Bakke, a space for honest conversations about faith, relationships, and finding our way back to true connection. As Saint Isaac the Syrian reminds us, be reconciled with yourself, and heaven and earth will be reconciled with you. When we make peace within, we open the door for healing in every part of our lives. And we hold on to this truth from 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So wherever you are in your journey, we invite you to tune in, reflect, challenge yourself, and take one step closer to the connection you were made for. It all begins with a simple step: to be reconciled.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is a very special day. I'm honored to be with Abuna Augustine, that we serve together, and it's my blessing to be with Abuna in this special episode. We have a dating series in the church, and we had lots of questions, so the idea came that we can meet together and answer the questions in this podcast. Stay tuned till the end. There is a lot of nice questions. This is also an opportunity for people who asked and we didn't have a chance to answer their questions. We promise we'll do as much as we can and as much as the time permits. Abuna Augustine Ibrahim, a blessing to have you.
My blessing, Abby. Thank you so much for having me. You know, the dating series is something that we have been fortunate to do in the Koinonia meeting for the last 3 years. We try to make it, even though it's about the practicality of relationships, it's about the spirituality of the person before the relationship. And so Abuna Bulis blessed us a couple of weeks ago with a discussion on purity that was very powerful and elicited a lot of questions. But the totality of the relationship series has been about knowing whether you are the person in the relationship that you need to be, or if you're a problem and you have to figure out what problems you need to unpack inside of yourself in order to be ready to pursue. And then we talked about the importance of purity in the relationship and how, if we are not focused on maintaining a spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical purity, the likelihood of the relationship ending in some sort of trauma, suffering, etc., will be amplified. Yes, this past Tuesday, we actually took it a step further. We talked about breakups. And so we talked about how to walk away and when to walk away and why to walk away. And I think this was very uncomfortable for a lot of people because we're talking about heartbreak and suffering, but talking about it from a logical perspective. And Abuna Bulis will bless us next week to kind of close the series up with how to be settled in your decision, whether you walk away or you stay, to trust that you have done the best you can and that God is in control. And so this series has always been about being a better person and then knowing what to do in a relationship so that you can honor God in it, because the purpose of relationships is oneness, as we know. Oneness with God, oneness with the partner through the power of the sacrament of marriage, and the beginning of that journey of oneness is in the courting and the pursuit period.
And I was excited about the... I never attended a talk about breakups. I want to be on time to learn.
It was something.
So, and all the talks are recorded, are on the Koinonia website and the Koinonia Instagram account,
yes,
and the church YouTube channel, and mm-hmm. also we can put it in the
SoundCloud.
It is also in the SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of questions, Abuna. So the questions, we try to categorize it in the pursuit, what to do in the pursuit phase, then in the relationship, then questions regarding family, which is a very important part, and questions about spirituality. Mm-hmm. So we'll try to nail as much as we can and get as much as we can So Otsak, you can, I will start with a question to your reverence. Otsak, go with the answers. Then sure. Otsak, ask me another question.
Absolutely.
We'll go back and forth. So I ask Abuna to look for someone for me. What is the success rate in matching? Matchmaking.
I love this. So, you know, before we even answer this question, I want to talk about the reality of it. When there's curiosity about matchmaking and the success rate of a priest, just remember that no one is as successful. No one, success is such a relative term. Like for us to say, this person is successful at this, or because he's an Abuna, the matchmaking rate is high and blah, blah, blah. What we're trying to do on some level is we're trying to take the accountability off of ourselves. Oh, Abuna picked. So how, this isn't my fault. I just showed up to the work. Abuna told me. It's like, you know, you want me to talk about the matchmaking and the success rate of the matchmaking, but I will ask you, what did you do when the match was made? So from my perspective, when you hear something like this, it's like, okay, we could have 100% success rate in matchmaking, but matchmaking to fruition of marriage, this isn't on us anymore. When priests, like anybody who loves you, recommend to people, they see good qualities. But what you do inside a relationship is completely your choice. And that affects the real rate of success. I don't know what Otsak thinks about that, but
I'm of those category. Don't ask me about them. It's hard. For me, it's
very
hard.
Much
it's,
so.
It's a hard decision. And also, you can have two great people. But when you put them together,
doesn't work.
It's an explosion is going to happen. So there's no problem in the first for him or her. But
yep.
when they are together,
yep.
there is a lot of issues can come up or can happen just from their interaction. So the key is lots of prayers. Really, lots of prayers. This will be like a foundation for all the answers we come across. I get this question a lot. Abuna, I know someone. For me, it's hard unless I know the two people very well.
Yeah.
And I can see, you know what, there is a lot of commonality. Their values is the same. Their mindset is the same.
Yep.
And the one who does the matchmaking is the Lord.
I mean,
the one who has the success rate is God.
That's amazing, Abby. I agree. 100%. That's beautiful. Okay, so another nice one that we want to tackle here in the pursuit category. Should I go into a relationship with a partner who has an issue of lust? This has been a prominent issue with men recently. What is your take?
Issue with lust. Men, they don't deal... So the issue of lust is for human beings. It's not
Thank
for
you
men.
Very much.
It is not just linked to men.
Taban.
it's for all of us. Even for us as human beings, even for us as a priest, we can all get tempted. That's why in every prayer, lead us not into temptation. Lead
exactly.
us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. So tying the issue of lust with men only is I think it's not true and it is not real. So, but the... This has been a prominent issue with men/women, if I can
yes.
add this, recently. I think one of the reasons of this problem is porn.
Yes.
Feeding tons of sexual, immoral, filthy, violent stuff that goes on and on and on, and people are soaking this, and the chances of ruining the mind. They did a lot of research of how your belief systems start changing.
Yes.
People watching inappropriate websites, men or women. In the last Barna research about it, the percentage is not that far between the men and women.
Correct.
One out of three women are deeply involved in porn.
Yep.
Up to two out of four in men, more or less, and this is Christian groups, it's not secular groups.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea is if I keep watching Food Channel in the Lent, what is my chances of keeping the fasting or keeping or staying fasting during the Lent. I'm just triggering myself all day long.
Correct.
So this issue is a big issue. I think just bring it up, striving to live a pure life, bringing it up in your confession, in your relationship, in your personal relationship, prayer with God, bringing it up in as a goal to reach purity. But if the person is, I think there are three categories. The first category, they say, I have no problem with this and I'm just a righteous person. This is a very big red flag.
Yes.
So the second category is, I'm struggling, I'm doing my best, I'm going to my father of confession even more often, I'm putting this in my prayer, I'm doing matanias, I'm reading more psalms, I'm holding myself accountable, I'm doing everything I can to protect myself and to keep myself in with the pure mind and the pure life.
Yes.
The third category is, I have no problem. This is what it is. This is the challenge of all
men. Indulge, indulge, indulge.
And this now we are dealing with, I think this is a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Because in this path, who will guarantee that this man or woman will not cheat on you? Just a few weeks after marriage.
Yeah.
Because this is all what they are obsessed with.
Yeah.
So the people who are pretending that they are righteous and they have no problem, I think this is unreal.
Yeah.
People are struggling wholeheartedly. This is a great part of their character, their zeal. They are striving to live a pure life. So I cannot judge them. I mean, if God is giving you more grace to overcome now, show that person more mercy and support, and also keep the relationship pure. Okay. The third group, this is a group of, you know what, this is the path, as it says in the book of Proverbs. There is a man who there is a way that appears to the it's a righteous path or yes. A right direction, and in the end it consumes or it leads to death.
Yes.
So I think those are the categories. It depends who is in which category and how we deal with it. So this has been a prominent issue. What is your take? I think this is my answer. If Otsuk want to add anything.
The only thing I would add is, you know, for you to know that it's an issue of that the partner is having an issue of lust, that means they're probably in the third category of they're shameless about it, right? They have accepted, and that's how you would know. The person who's struggling with it and the person who doesn't believe it's a problem is not talking about it. And in the end, forgive me, I believe that lust, as anger or any other sin, is the responsibility of the person and God, and the father of confession, excuse me. Like, this is something you should be working, like, you have to be careful, I think, in a relationship to get too deep into what someone's sin category is, right? Yani, sitting down and getting to know someone and saying something along the lines of, like, so are you watching porn? Like, this is a very difficult conversation in a date. You know, I don't know that this is a healthy conversation. This is, if this is something that they're struggling with, then this is between them and their father of confession and God. And as a partner, sometimes we become overly invasive. Now, if the partner is someone who talks openly about the bodies of the opposite sex in front of a partner, someone who is overly flirtatious, someone who is overly sexual in these ways, okay, khalas, now we know this is, you're a third category type of person, or you're a category one person that you don't even realize this is a problem, and then I would confront this. But if this is someone that's battling with this, and mimfashiani, that we push back and we're trying to get involved in their personal war, this is very, very dangerous, because for one person it could be lust, and another person it could be anger, and another person it could be stubbornness, and another person it could be pride. And yes, you have to pay attention to these things on some level when they start to spill out unrepentantly. But I also worry that we are becoming a culture of attempting to whittle down every single problem and know every little thing about someone in order to make sure that they don't have a problem. Porn and masturbation are affecting women and men at higher levels than they ever have because of the easy access to porn that Otsuk said. And so we have to be gracious with the struggle. And as long as we know that they have an active life of confession and that they are actively living righteously. And that manifests in the way they interact with me and the way they interact with, people around me. Then I know, okay, even if that's a battle for them, it's their battle. It becomes mine when they don't even care about it.
Yeah, very true. Another question, Abby. I see a lot of people in healthy relationship, and then when they get married, it becomes abusive, and they show their true colors. How do we avoid that?
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple of really fascinating things in a question like this. Number one, how do you know the relationship is healthy before? What tells you that?
They were laughing together.
Holding hands. Exactly, right? Because Anna Uliani, she's so cute, and he says, oh, he loves him. And we, of course, very healthy, right? So we think it's healthy, number one. And number two, how do you know it's abusive? Are you in the house? It's wild how people sometimes can make these statements, very, very brash statements of like, well, I see and I see. I don't know very many people who have such poor self-control that you would be able to see abuse publicly. And I do not see so many people that have so little self-control that you would be able to tell whether their relationship is healthy or unhealthy. And so I think first, we have to be careful not to judge. We have no idea what is healthy or unhealthy, okay? But the second thing is, if you want to avoid these types of situations, there's a very important path that you need to take. It's called the path of patience. I hate when we rush. When we take our time in a relationship, we can determine whether or not it's healthy. It's about patience and confrontation. Both things have to exist in a relationship. And Utsik sees this as much as I do, that, you know, when you ask somebody 3 to 6 months into the relationship, okay, what red flags have you noticed? What things are worrisome? Nothing. Everything is great. What are you doing, guys? You clearly are not asking any questions, right? And so I worry that we're not asking hard questions. We're not having difficult conversations. We're not noticing trends because we're so obsessed with finishing the deal, getting it done.
Yeah.
If you desire to actually have a healthy relationship, healthy relationships have conflict and they have uncomfortable discussions. All the time. Even as priests, when we serve together, there are healthy conversations that aren't always comfortable, but they're in love and they're had because we love one another. It's the same thing in a relationship with an intimate partner. You have to be willing to do this. And that's how you can tell if it's healthy or not. That's how you can tell if it will be abusive or not. If the person doesn't want to have hard conversations, avoids, pushes the timelines up, is always running to the next thing, and you don't know enough about them, this is likely going to be an abusive relationship because they're just trying to finish and then they have you trapped. But if you are willing to ask hard questions, they're willing to answer them, ask you hard questions. No one is just content with the status quo. You want to know more? You will have a healthy relationship. You won't find abuse. I don't know what Utsik thinks, if you'd like to add to this.
I think it's being yourself also. Everybody pretend to be the best they can or the best version of them, trying to avoid any triggers, to reach the finish line and go in the wet preparation.
Just need you to get me there.
Get me there and then I will explode. Tell you a funny story. There was a lady who's very, very angry, and everyone around her knows that she's very angry to the extent that her anger is really out of control. So people, when they knock the door in the old times, interested, and they say, "Not, we are interested." Okay, they come over, and things goes wrong, and she flips and goes out of control. So a guy heard about it. And they told him, "No, she's very angry. Watch. And he said, no, I will test myself. I'm smart. I can figure this out." So he started dating. The things moved fine. And one time he spilled orange juice on her white dress, expecting that she will flip. Nothing happened. Second time. He pushed her by mistakenly and just to trigger her if she would be angry. Nothing happened. They got married. First week in marriage, he did one wrong thing and she exploded. So he told her, "I heard this about you before we get married. I never saw it. So what's going on?" And she told him, when I go to my mom's kitchen, I will show you. And this is a true story.
What?
So she, when he is upsetting her, she really is going, trying to go out of control. She leaves him. She goes to the kitchen. She opens the drawer of the kitchen and she bites the drawer with her teeth. And the next time they went to her mom, they went to the kitchen. And the drawer is...
Yeah!
So the, it's part of the issue is not being yourself and not being honest and not being vulnerable.
Yes.
And trying to reach to the finish line without really going through the hard conversation. Mm-hmm. As Otsek said, I think this is very important. The finances is a very hard topic.
Yes.
In-laws is a very hard topic. Friends and extended group of friends is also a hot topic. And sometimes even in premarital assessment, it gives you what are the hot topics that you both have. That
yes.
When it comes to in-laws, when it comes to finance, yes. When it comes to intimacy, when it comes to spirituality, whatever it is. And they need to go through this in advance. Do your homework in advance at the time of courting and dating. So as it will be more peaceful later on because you have done the right way.
Yeah, and just a very small thing to add on the back of that, Abby, is you have to be willing to lose the person. And this idea of playing for keeps, playing to win, is the problem.
Yes.
The real winning is doing what is best for both of you in God's eyes. Not doing what you want, not getting the end, getting married. You have to be willing to lose. If you're not willing to lose, this is biblical, right? If you're not willing to lose what you have on earth to gain what you deserve in heaven, you won't have what's in heaven for you. And I think this is the mistake many of us make.
And I think this is also answering a question that someone wanted to be. It's to date once and for all, and so I date once, and this is the person, and they are good to go. So they don't wanna, they don't even want to give the chance of that it might not work out.
Correct.
So, and this the willing to lose or to leave the person so as to gain your own salvation, because it might be this is the beginning of a tough situation that they can go through.
Okay, let me get the next question then for Otsek. Okay, so the next question, if someone's not willing to convert, but there is a very slight religious denominational difference that is not hindering the relationship, should it continue? I give you a tough one.
not willing to convert, this means that the person will stay in their church, and I will leave the Coptic
my
church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And get married in a different church.
Yeah.
And I just want to let you know that by making this decision, you are choosing to belong to a different part of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So you abide with whatever is there. If I'm joining the whatever, I don't want to mention denominations.
Yeah.
But if I'm joining another denomination, then I'm joining this. Then, but I'm. Be sure that when I get married outside of the Coptic Church, I'm choosing not to take communion in the Coptic Church. I'm choosing not to belong to the Coptic Church. You can attend. Nobody is going to tell you are not attending.
Exactly.
Because what God has put together, let no man separate. And I have chose to get married outside of the Coptic tradition because of my love to the other person. So my love to the other person is more than my commitment.
Yeah.
Is more than my commitment to my church. My advice to all the youth: never leave the Coptic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Never leave the Coptic Church. We have a beautiful church. We have a rich church. We are not perfect. We have our shortcomings. We have our drama. We have our mistakes. But it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful church that definitely we should not leave it. So they are not willing to convert. This means that I'm going to convert.
That's the only way it works.
And yet and yet the very slight religious denomination difference are not hindering the relationship. The religious denomination differences is not about you are not here to determine what are the differences or not.
Correct.
The differences.
Correct.
The churches has been established for 2,000 years. There has been system. And when you are part of the system, you abide with the system and mm-hmm. You go through it. So I wish that the value and the beauty of our church will be anchored in our hearts. And we have seen many, actually it is 50-50. People who want to join the church to get married, to take the membership of
so we can get this done.
And people who are get really involved, really deeply mm-hmm. involved. We have seen converts, a girl converted to the Coptic Orthodox Church because of her relationship with the man. Then they broke up.
Mm-hmm.
Then they stayed. She stayed in the church, serving in the church, highly involved in
yep.
the church.
Yep.
Then God sent her another person within the Coptic Church, and things worked out perfect, and they got married. So here, this is a difference between those who are seeking to join the church
exactly.
for membership, or seeking to join the church because this is really what they believe, and this is really where they see the fulfillment and engagement in and satisfaction in their relationship with God. Otsak, should we shift gears to questions in relationships? Or
maybe we take one more on the pursuit side, if anything that Otsak saw was interesting, and then we can jump into the relationship ones.
At what point does one just hop on meat and write?
Abun and I, and I'm speaking for Otsak, so correct me if I'm wrong, we don't love this dating app business. We're not a fan. In particular, I am not a fan. I understand that the world has changed, but when we are hiding behind screens and we are hiding behind profiles and da-da-da-da-da, number one, we're increasing our anxiety because we're increasing our likelihood of rejection. This is a big deal. Because you like someone and you swipe on theirs and they don't swipe on you, you know what happened. It's not hard to figure it out. So now we're increasing our rejection, and we're increasing our insecurity, which makes us more desperate and we make worse choices. The second thing is, when you hide behind a screen, you can say anything. That's where all of this blackmail nonsense has come on social media, is people use, they're catfishing you and they convince you that it's a different person and it's this and it's this and it's this. And then you get ambushed later and all of a sudden you owe them $10,000 or they're going to show you, they're going to destroy you. So I believe, especially in Orange County, and I'm very adamant about this, you cannot tell me with all of the GYP meetings, with all of the youth meetings, with all of the retreats, with all of the churches, with all of the activities, that there's someone that you can't meet. I have a really hard time with it. And I think men, I challenge you to be more courageous. I challenge you to be willing to have conversations face to face with the girls that you're interested in. Be men about it and be serious. And women, be willing to be pursued. Be open-minded to it, right? Don't hide behind your girls and make all these silly faces and da-da-da. He didn't look at me the right way. No. If we have the appropriate intentions in our hearts for pursuit, then we will take the risks that come with it. And when we take those risks in a righteous way, God will always catch you before you hit the pavement. He will protect you. Doesn't mean you're not going to get embarrassed, but it also doesn't mean that you're going to get humiliated. If you do something righteously, I believe strongly that God is not going to let you fall on your backside.
I agree with Otsak, and I just want to say, add one thing. Sometimes if someone is introverted, they're not that social.
Yeah.
They are. It's hard for them to start a conversation. They don't know if this girl is married, is planning to get married, mm-hmm. This is in her mind or that. When they are seeing candidates online, it might give them, okay, you know what, I might try, I might.
Sure.
I think it can be of help to certain type of people in their journey. I know some few people who have it helped them. But the problem is not in the app. It's not, the problem is what happens after the app. If we are also focusing on the finish line and we are pretending someone whom we are not, and it goes on. There is one itchy question I want to ask. Is it wrong to not pursue someone that you think he might be a priest? You are asking priests to answer this question.
Look, I think if you decide that's not the life you want, good for you, okay? You believe that, that's fine. If you also think that you can control the will of God, good for you, okay? Because I'm pretty sure both of us didn't think it was going to happen, and God laughed at both of us.
Very true, very true.
So Edda, we, you know, even if it's been said, oh, this person could be a priest, they may not be a priest. And people that you would think that over, you know, God's dead body, would this person be a priest? It's like, well, that happened. So if you feel that that's a life that would be hard for you, you're welcome to take it off the table. But I think many times the qualities that you see in a person that are righteous, that could be a priest, they are qualities you need in a spouse.
Yeah.
And I think it's imprudent to lower the bar for yourself because you're afraid of what could happen. Have the conversation about it. I don't know about Otsik, but I'll speak personally for myself. We had a conversation before we got married about this. And I said, I don't want it. It's not happening. From my perspective, it's a no. From your perspective, it's a no. Are we on the same page? Yes, cool. So we had an uncomfortable conversation. And that was that. God laughed 10 years later. You know? But the point is, you know, you talk about it. Be willing to talk about it. But I don't know what Otsik thinks, if anyone add to that. But
I think the more you love God, the more you want to give him everything.
Yes.
Even your husband.
That's a beautiful point, Evie. I love that.
I mean, I think this is how I see it.
Yeah.
The more we grow in our love to God, the more there is nothing precious that we will say, I want to keep this to me.
Mm-hmm.
We see the saints give their life, they give their kids, Omina Dulegi, Sandulegi.
Yeah.
She insisted on seeing her kids being martyred on her lap to make sure that they did not deny Christ. I mean, but it's a personal preference, and people have the chance and the choice to say,
it's
no,
up to you.
If this is something you cannot tolerate or you cannot accept.
All right, we'll go into the relationship section now. So this is if you're in a relationship, and these are questions about how to navigate the relationship. So I'll give Otsik the first one. How do you know a relationship is from God? The one we've been hearing for 30 years.
Number one, that God is in the relationship.
Yes.
How to know if it is from God? If he is not in the relationship, then if it is not pure, if you are lying, exactly, if you are making up stuff that never happened, if you are living a hypocritical life,
mm-hmm,
if all what you are thinking of is how to impress the person. I had a sad interaction with one of the people going through a very hard time in his marriage. And the guy is telling me, I knew that she cheated on me. So it's a heartbreaking situation. We went through it. He spoke, and I tried to calm him as much as I can. And down the line, after a while, I asked him, I mean, did you see any signs of cheating or lying and her personality before? And he said, no, not much. Then he paused. And he told me, oh. She was lying to her dad when we were together. She was lying to her mom and telling her we are in the library, and she was lying. And just finally, after all of this time, the light goes on, and he realized that she had lying as a lifestyle.
Yes.
Where is God in this relationship? Because he's not there. Lying and playing games, pretty much you are holding the hands of the liar and the father of every lie. And if you start your life with a lying or with a lie to your spouse to be, are you asking God to be blessing a relationship like this?
Mm.
So I think it is just back to basics. How to know that God is in the relation, or this relationship is from God? Are you pursuing God? Is he or she pursuing God? church is the center of our life. Are you faithful in your donations?
Yeah.
Are you faithful in just the basic stuff?
Yeah.
In reading the Bible, yeah. Opening your Agbaya and praying 2 minutes in the day. Are you faithful in your work? Are you faithful with your mom and dad? Do you respect them? Do you honor them? How you deal with them? So knowing if the relationship is from God, there is a lot of stuff that you look at, but the bottom line, keep the relationship pure, remove any lying, cheating, hypocrisy, playing games, pretending you are someone whom you aren't, being genuine, being honest, being vulnerable, talking the tough, bringing the tough conversation in, mm-hmm. Guidance from your father of confession, blessings from your parents. People are around you are saying, you know what, we haven't seen you that joyful before. It seems that this is, there is peace, peace, peace. The Lord will talk to his people through peace. If you keep praying and keep asking God for his will, and you have peace and comfort in your heart, then this is a sign to move forward. Mm-hmm. But Abuna, it is all over the place. Sometimes I have peace, sometimes I don't have peace. If you are interacting 100 interactions, and 80% are confusing and stressful and heartbreaking and volatile and aggressive, and 20% is peaceful, it's completely different than 80% are peaceful. And we have some hiccups.
Yep.
So it's a very cliche question, but back to basics will solve many of the issues.
Yeah, you know, Abby, I want to, but there's something here, and I want to get Otsik's thought on this too. How do you know a relationship is from God? We assume that a relationship from God means it succeeds. We assume this. No, sometimes a relationship is meant to build us in a way that prepares us for our partner, right?
Very true.
And so I think sometimes we make this distinction of if it comes from God, it has to finish perfectly. And in Philippians, all things work together for good for those who love God. And so I don't know what Otsik thinks about it, but that's something that comes to my heart, is sometimes a relationship is from God. It might be the stepping stone, which is not fun, you know, but it could be a stepping stone to me being the person I need to be. I know multiple people where the first relationship with a righteous person woke them up and showed them their deficiencies and their weaknesses and forced them to get serious about God in a way they hadn't been, not to get married, but because they realized what they were missing. It was the step to have them put down foolish things. I don't know what Otsik thinks about that. I'd love to get your opinion.
I agree with Otsik 100%. If it is, if you are pursuing God number one in your life, if the kingdom of heaven is my ultimate goal, is my relationship with God is the core.
Mm-hmm.
As I keep telling the people now, God is not an app. He is not an app. You activate the app, you use the app, and then you log outside of the app. And he is the operating system. Mm-hmm. He is the operating system. So if God is the operating system, and I had a relationship, and the relationship that didn't work out, it was from God, mm-hmm. to expose something in me,
correct,
to reveal something in me.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot forget this story. I heard it, I don't know, I was in high school, from Amba Musa, the bishop of
the youth. Yeah.
And he said this, two perfect, righteous young men and women, they got to know each other. She broke up with him because she told him, you know what, I love, I was thinking of monastic life. Mm. I want to be in the convent. Christ is my bridegroom. And I cannot just get married.
Yeah.
So she left him and went to the convent. And then he started questioning himself. I mean, she loves God that much.
Mm.
More than me. Why I don't love God that much?
Wow.
Then he started pursuing his life with God. He grew in his relationship with God even more. Then he went to the monastery.
That's awesome.
And he became a monk.
That's
and
cool.
He was looking after touring the monastery because he was fluent in a couple of languages and very well educated. So they assigned him this responsibility. One day, a beautiful boy 5 years old, coming from a bus, arrived to the monastery, and a beautiful boy is coming from the bus, and Abuna was waiting for them. So he came and he gave Abuna a hug, and he told him, "Where are your parents?" And he told him, "This is my mom, the girl that he was dating."
Wow.
And he looked to her. He recognized her. She didn't recognize him. And his mind was blown. What's going on?
Wow.
And he told her, you don't know who I am? And she realized that he was the one she was dating. And she told him, I went to the convent for 3 years. I didn't work out. I left the convent and I got married. And he told her, I'm here because of you. Because I saw how much you love God. And this is what I chose. And I never regretted this decision ever in my life.
That's amazing.
So it was from God.
Wow.
So this relationship that didn't work out, mm-hmm. it was from God.
Yeah. That's beautiful, Abby.